Let's start out with how was Austin? How did you enjoy the book festival and your time in the South?
That's great. Austin is a favorite city, so any chance to get back is one that's easy to say yes to. And I hadn't been to the book fest before. I hadn't realized the exact scope of the thing. Huge. And the fact that it overlapped with the Screenwriters Festival was an unexpected surprise.
Wow. Did you get to jump into any films on that side or go into any of the conference stuff?
I didn't. No, I was able to chat, however, with a couple of filmmakers at one of the Lit Crawl events.
So let's talk about the Lit Crawl, because I think that's one of the best experiences at the Texas Book Festival. How much fun did you have, and where did you get to kind of go on the Lit Crawl?
I went to North Door, which is my favorite tacos in Austin, and got to catch like maybe an hour of one of their programs.
Very cool. Did you get any other food? I mean, obviously tacos are great, but any barbecue while you were down here?
I didn't do barbecue. Had like the perfunctory Lone Star in a can, and I'm a big fan of
Austin cupcakes. Very cool. So I've got to ask. Me and my girlfriend were up in your side of the world, Minneapolis. About a month ago. How does Odessa come out of Minnesota? Like, where did you find your style? Like, when did you figure out who you were up there?
I think for me, the concentration of rappers in Minneapolis is insane. Like, you can't grow rock without hitting like a DJ or an MC. The culture there is really vibrant, and because there isn't a lot of infrastructure to support that culture, we've got a lot of like really scrappy, hungry, creative, capable DIY institutions. But for me, my interest in hip hop was definitely intrigue. You know, being a fan of other artists and that stuff, and then eventually being at SIM, like that made for a dream come true on that particular, So, my mother was from the project in the Bronx, and I live in New York half-time and in Minneapolis half-time now. But for me, that Minneapolis community was definitely, like, the formative space. And each kind of punk rock infused and angry but welcoming. It's funny and full of artists who didn't take themselves too desperately seriously or were hungry for new opportunities. Like, that is the Minneapolis thing.
As far as writing your music, and then I know with like book wise, your poetry came out first. Do your rhymes come out similar to your poems, or is it a different type of space that it comes from? Do you write differently? Are those connected, or are they different?
So for me, poetry wasn't first. My first book was called Spiral Down. That I put out on June 2 Press. And that was mostly essays.
Okay.
And then I wrote a book of poetry a few years later. I think poetry is the more demanding form with less margin of error. So I'm careful about how and when I would call myself a poet. I mean, that's just such a serious word. It's not around height. But for me, I would say that my essays were initially really different than the songs that I wrote, and it wasn't until chatting with one of the other members in Doomtree Taylor that I was encouraged to try to like find a true voice in hip hop might sound a little bit more like my ethnic voice. And so now I think, although there's some daylight between the two, I think they do sound like the product of the same
So do you think, as far as your writing, has it impacted your writing for your music? Like, my first album I got of yours was A Badly Broken Code. Compared to Chime, how impactful has your other writing been on, like, your albums?
I think it comes from the same general issues in language and an investigation of the human condition and love loss and community. the voice is going to change, I think, from the page to the stage.
Very cool. You know, there was a question during your reading in the tent at Austin Book Festival about you having a glossary in this book. And I'd love to kind of re-ask that question, because I think that was my favorite part about reading the book, was all the funky things in the glossary. How fun is it to look at language and decipher it? I think you love, or seem to love, you know, the many forms of words, and you know, language is important to you.
I do love it. Yeah. So I would agree. I do love language.
Was it always intentional to want to have something like a glossary where you could kind of help those that may not know you as well to follow along, or was it just sort of fun just to add that in?
Well, again, as I said there, I mean, the glossary in a lot of ways doesn't serve as a glossary does. Like, most of those words aren't in the text, right? So yeah. it isn't really a guide to the reader to be able to understand the terms that follow. And it is more a creative writing piece, I think, you know, kind of flipping a technical format on its head and using it for personal narrative is something that I like. And it's certainly not something I made up. I mean, every once in a while, some of my favorite creative nonfiction sites will have, like, an annual report, right? But it's an annual report on a marriage, you know? So it's a really technical format describing a really personal story. I think that I've always loved unlikely marriages of form and content like that.
So I'm kind of curious, the book, especially it's true stories from the road of music, then science, and senseless love. Which of those three came first to you, or did you write all of them together? Like, how did you mold it all together into the book?
Like I mentioned, with Sen Pop, always for me, it's almost always writing an essay that is the task at hand, as opposed to writing a book or a collection, you know? So some of those essays have been in the making for years, you know, 4 or 5 years. Some of them were written pretty quickly as the deadline approached, and I was able to devote more time specifically to
Writing.
Yeah, but I'd say that science has been a lifelong love. I've been dogged by that same romance for a really long time, so that also has been an inspiration for a lot of content, both prose and music, for the past 10 years.
So I've got a couple of international questions. First of all, you're about to jump over the pond and have some fun in London, and how much fun is it to be in that area of the world, and how excited are you to go to that side?
I really dig traveling, both as a performer and as a writer. And even when I've got, you know, time off, I'm likely to probably think about taking a trip. I admit, I don't really think about it in the terms that you use. Like, I don't think about it as fun. That makes sense. But, although there are definitely fun moments, but it feels like, just meaningful. You know, it's hard work, it's exhausting, you don't make a bunch of money, but you do get to learn about how the rest of the world works, and you get to have conversations with people who've had very different lives. And of course, it's like a thrill to have a club full of people in a foreign country, you know, so yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I'll be going across the pond with Matthew Santos and Abby Wolf, who are the other members of kind of the lean trio with which I perform internationally. So we're all stoked. I think we're good. We'll start in 2 days.
Yeah, I love you with Matthew. Chacon is one of my favorite all-time songs. So
good, Dan. So good. Thanks. I'll pass on a compliment.
So, lastly, about foreign travel, my folks are South African, and I want to ask about what you got to do in August, getting over there. It's kind of a special thing you got to do with the orchestra. Tell me about that experience, but also any other kind of experiences overseas that have impacted your life and impacted the way you kind of look at your reach.
I mean, in some ways, like, I don't want to flatter myself and imagine that I've got this transcontinental, global, undeniable reach. In some ways, I think music has been the vehicle for travel as opposed to the travel being the vehicle for music. You know, I really do like being able to go to places like Asia and Africa, because I think that's the more representative human experience on the planet. You know, the way that we live in Austin or in Minneapolis or in New York isn't the way that most people live. It's not the food that most people eat. It's not the way that most people locomote. I mean, we've got kind of a strange and skewed perspective of what it might seem like to be alive in 2018, you know? So being able to travel to South Africa in August was awesome. Because initially, you know, I toured there a couple of times before as a rapper, but when I heard that the orchestra was heading out on a tour, I was determined to try to make myself useful to them in some ways that I could essentially stow away on their adventure. So I offered to accompany the tour, essentially as a journalist. So I shadowed the musicians and the conductor and the faculty. And then I wrote, like, little daily vignettes, you know? So these weren't, like, big newspaper articles, but, like, little Instagram posts of exactly how people care for their music, for their instruments when they're traveling at altitude. And is there a stereotypical, like, personality type that's more likely to be attracted to brass and strings? That kind of really macro examination of orchestral tour. Yeah.
Wow, very cool. Well, I've got to kind of ask to you know, for you've had such a great year in 2018. What can we expect from you next year, in the coming years? What are you hoping to do? Is there anything you can share?
Oh, yeah. Thanks for asking. So, you know, next week, I'll travel to the UK and do the tour of Matthew and Abby. And then tomorrow, actually, I'll have my first day back in studio with producers Laserbeak and Andy Thompson to start on some music. So that's next on the horizon for me, is to kind of get back in the lab.
Wow, are you looking to get an album out early in next year?
Probably not. Usually, there's like a 4-month lead. So you have to be done with an album 4 months before you release it, usually. So I'd already missed January. But I'd like to have some new music. Kind of, we'll start on it and see how far we get.
Very cool. Well, Dessa, I'll definitely keep track, but I hope you come back to Dallas or Austin. I can make it down to Austin, too, in the near future.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thanks. We're trying to actually steam a show in the spring of next year that heads south. So maybe keep your ear to the ground for potential touring for it.
Very sweet. Awesome. Well, Dessa, I'll get out of your ear. Thank you so much, and have a safe trip over to England.
Thank you so much.
All right, bye.
Okay, have a good one.